And one of the prophetic themes for this year for Evangel, as you would have heard, I'm going to get my clock here. Okay, I'm going to get used to this. The theme for Evangel this year we have heard, greater maturity and increased fruitfulness. Everybody say it with me, greater maturity and increased fruitfulness. So we want to grow. Is that right? We're growing into greater maturity. It's not that you have not grown, but there's a greater measure of maturity that God wants to take us to. The Bible says, once I was a child, I thought as a child. But once you grow, something different happens. So we want to talk about this greater maturity. And I want to look at the life of Samuel a little bit here this morning and the life of Jesus. We're going to put that two hand in hand. But before you even show the slides, before we show anything here, this is not kind of planned here, but I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'm going to give you kind of like some of the verses that hopefully gets the real feel of what I'm trying to say this morning, okay? So in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, and then we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 10. Okay, and it says this, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths,'" these are all the foreign gods, okay, "'idols,' all those things, 'from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only. He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines.'" The Philistines are your enemies, the enemies. You can think of the conflict right now, what's happening in the Middle East. But look at how it says, if you, number one, return, say, return to the Lord. How? With all of your hearts, right? What do you do? Number two, put away foreign gods. Say with me, put away foreign gods. Number three, prepare your hearts. He will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines. Serve Him only. I want you to pick up that word, serve Him only. Everybody say serve. To minister, okay? I also want to read from Deuteronomy, if you can turn there. If you've got your scriptures here. Deuteronomy chapter 13, I believe it is. Verse 10. Or maybe it's 10 verse 13. 10 verse 12, sorry. I want you to pick up the word serve. Are you ready? And let's verbalize it together. 1, 2, and 3. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Are you picking up that word here this morning? I felt like, yeah, it's really coming out. It's the word serve. Serve. Fear the Lord, walk in all His ways, love Him, and serve the Lord with, not half-heartedly, not a little bit, not most of the time, with all your heart and with all your soul. So we're talking about this morning, I want to talk about growing into maturity, but in our priestly ministry. Everybody say priestly ministry. I should have asked you the question first before I said this, the title. But if I asked you a question here, let me say, are you a minister? What do you think? Think for a moment, all right? You know I'm asking, so the answer has to be yes, right? But think about it for a moment. Most of us, we say, I'm not a minister, right? But usually ministers are those in politics or those in those areas, or even maybe a minister of God, a pastor, leader, whatever. You think minister. Change, I want to sort of get around our minds a little bit this morning. He says, well, I'm a minister too. You're a minister. What about this question here? I'm going to ask another question here. Are you a priest? Yeah, well, you've all obviously been around, been around long enough to know that you are a priest. Now, most of the, you know, sometimes when I talk to people and I say to people, especially those non-believers who don't really know the differences between Catholicism and whatnot, and you try and say, well, what do you do for living? I say, oh, I'm a pastor at a church. What is a pastor, a church leader? Ah, you're a priest, huh? I say, I don't know how to answer this question, because what they think as priests is what they see with the robe and the Catholic priest and bless you with a bit of water and that kind of thing, right? So I want to say no, but at the same time, I'm thinking, well, I am a priest, actually. But not in the context of how you're thinking it. But yes, you're right. You and I are priests. All right, we're going to look at some of those verses here. We talked about being like Jesus. What does it mean to be like Jesus? Jesus, right? The Bible says that we are to be conformed according to this is the will of God, that we will be conformed to the image of His Son. We talked about in previous times, in previous weeks, we talked about being like Jesus in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. Do you remember that? We want to be one in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. Well, let's look at what Jesus is like. What is Jesus doing now? Where is Jesus? Well, is Jesus a minister? Yeah. Okay, all right, now, you got that thought here now. So Jesus is a minister. Where is He right now? He's up in heaven, right? But what is He doing? Well, He's not sitting on a cloud doing nothing or playing a guitar. He's ministering. All right? Jesus is up in heaven ministering as our high priest. Just a few days ago on Thursday would have marked the day, or at least in memory, or at least if you look at the timeline, would have been Ascension Day. Are you following with me so far? So the day that Jesus ascended back to heaven. How do we know that? Well, Easter, we have Passover, when Jesus died. Then the Bible tells us that for 40 days and 40 nights, He spoke to His disciples about the kingdom. And in the book of Acts chapter 1, we read how He ascended. All right? But then on the day of Pentecost, I hope you're following with me, which is on the 50th day, that means after He had spoken to His disciples for 40 days and 40 nights, or 40 days period, there's a 10-day period until the day of Pentecost would have hit. So from Passover to Pentecost, and by the way, I'm saying all of this because Pentecost is next Sunday. So from Easter to Pentecost, we have 50 days. Jesus, for 40 days, spoke to His disciples about the kingdom. Thus, when the disciples went back to Jerusalem, there was a space of 10 days. So after the 40 days, Jesus resurrected. So it's been 40 days last Thursday since we had Easter, right? All right? So you hope you're feeling that. So that means from Thursday till next Sunday, there remains 10 days, all right? And what would happen? Jesus had ascended into heaven. He says, when I go up and I'm glorified, what am I going to do? I'm going to pour out. I'm going to send the Spirit, the promise of the Father. I will baptize you and fill you with the Holy Spirit, with power, that you might be witnesses unto me. From Jerusalem to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. All right? So where's Jesus? He's in heaven. But what is Jesus doing? He's not doing nothing. And this is what I want to show you here. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6. I'm going to spend some time really quickly here to read some few verses just to get a bit of context. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 to 6, it says, so also Christ did not glorify Himself to become high priest, but it was He who said to Him, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. Who said that to Jesus? The Father. Verse 6, He also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, number one, you are a priest, not temporarily, forever. Number two, after or according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, I know the term Melchizedek can sometimes sound a little bit frightening. You can wonder, what is Melchizedek? Well, what does it have to do with Christianity? And what does it have to do with me? Well, Melchizedek simply means this. It's made of two Hebrew words, Melech, which means king, and Tzedek, which means righteousness. So you have Melchizedek. Two words. Melchi, meaning king. Tzedek, speaking of righteousness. So Melchizedek means a king of righteousness. So when he's saying this, I am a priest forever after the order of a kingdom of according to the order of the king of righteousness, of the kingdom of righteousness, if you want to put this. Remember how Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All right, so here, can you have this thought with me so far? Jesus is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. What's all of this to do? How do I sum this up? When you say that, you're saying Jesus is the king priest. Everybody say it with me, king priest. Jesus is the king priest. He is a king and he's the priest. So what is Jesus doing here? He ascended into heaven. He is the king priest who is at the right hand of God sitting in heaven. And as a priest, now a priest has a ministry. Does that make sense? Following with me? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 to 2, it says this. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. This is the main point. You're reading Hebrews all the way to chapter 8. It says, and this is it. What is it? This is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty. A throne speaks of king, kingship in the heavens. Verse 2, what is that? A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. We have here the main point that Jesus is the king priest who ascended, resurrected from the dead, but he didn't just resurrect it. He ascended, he sits at the right hand, he is glorified, and he sits there as the king priest. Everybody say king priest. I just want to give you a picture of who Jesus is and what he's doing right now in heaven. He ascended. This is the main point. He's up there. But remember, we talk about that our desire, our goal, the purpose of what God made us is that we would be conformed to his image and likeness. So Jesus being a king priest, the king priest, calls us to be a kingdom of priests. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 to 6. Again, I'm just trying to put it around it, introduce it, okay, and put all the verses together. It says in verse 5, are you following with me so far? Jesus is the king priest. This is the main point. What about you and me? Verse 5 to 6. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This word is not just a New Testament idea. Right from the day that God delivered his people out of Egypt, he said, I want you to be a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of priests. I brought you to myself and bore you to myself on eagle's wings. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, I'm going to read that really quickly. It says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Priest. So let me ask the question again. I know you already knew the answer, but are you a priest? The answer is, are you a minister? Yes. Why? Because a priest ministers. What's another word for minister? Serve. So remember how we read some of the verses at the start, to serve. So I want to talk about this service here from a priesthood perspective here, service. You know, sometimes we think serving is, packing up equipment, doing all kinds of, and by all means, we love this service. It is more than welcome. We need all the help we can get. We're not saying it's not important. Okay, it is important. But I want to talk something deeper most important service that anyone can do, beyond helping with, you know, carrying things or organizing something or some things like these, which are all important, these are all good. But there's one service that we cannot run away from. And this is what we want to talk about. And this is the service that we all have as a kingdom of priests. Now, in order for the priest to serve, he must be, number one, he must be anointed. Let's read. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 to 30. Are you still with me so far this morning? There's a service, but for this priest to serve, he must be anointed. It says this in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 30. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much as sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to all the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. Don't worry about the details of that, but put all of these ingredients together. Verse 25, and you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer, and it shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstands and its utensils, and the altar of incense. Now, I'm sorry, I can't go to too much detail here, but with this oil, you anoint the whole tabernacle and all the furnitures. What is this tabernacle and the furnitures? That's where the priest ministers. That's where the priest serves. He's talking about you got to anoint all these things, okay? All right, let's move from there, okay? I just thought I'd give you that thought here. Verse 28, the altar and the burnt offerings and with all its utensils and the laver and its base. Verse 29, you shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And verse 30, I read all of this to get to verse 30. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. Okay? So I hope you get the idea here. They that serve must be anointed. We have been anointed. Now, the oil in the Bible speaks of what? The Holy Spirit, the supply of oil, the Holy Spirit, the anointing oil is speaking of the Holy Spirit. We have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. We can only serve God as we are anointed, set apart by the Spirit to serve Him. Are you following with me so far? As a priest, the priest is anointed. The Holy Spirit. We can't serve without the Holy Spirit. Why am I talking all of this so far? Let me bring it back to why I'm saying all this. Why am I talking about all of this priest and Jesus, the order of Melchizedek, and anointing oil? All of this is because we're going to look in a moment at the life of Samuel, how Samuel began to grow. But in his growing, he did something very important. He did this. He ministered to the Lord. Before we get to that, though, let's look at this slide here. It says anointed. We are anointed for service. Okay? We're anointed for service. And, one of the challenges that I face right now. Now, how many times we always ask, do you ask sometimes for your own personal life or whenever or when you could be in a church meeting and you're asking, Lord, fill me with your presence. And you're like, Lord, I want more of your anointing. I want more of the Spirit of God in me. I just want to experience more. Anyone ever done that? I'm sure you have done that somewhere. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. But have you, I've questioned myself and you got to ask yourself, well, you're like, what for? I'm anointed for what? I think it's lovely to be in the presence of God, and I think we should long for this. But sometimes we don't realize that the anointing of the Spirit is to serve. First, to serve Him. So let me read this. Point number one, service or ministry unto the Lord. We're anointed to serve first unto the Lord. And by the way, you can find this on our website when you look about us. Okay, number two, ministry unto the body of Christ, the church, the people of God. That's my ministry, to serve. Number three, our third ministry is the ministry unto the world, which is evangelism, reaching out to people. All right? You see, when on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what was it for? You shall receive power for what? To just indulge in the presence and enjoy it? I don't think it's wrong, but is that what it said for? It says what? You shall be endued with power from on high, that you might be witnesses unto me. So I'm kind of trying to drill this idea here. Why do we ask for more of the anointing? Why do we ask for more of the Spirit? Do you know that the Spirit in us is given so we would learn to serve? Jesus came to serve, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. He was anointed to set people free. So does that, can you hear what I'm saying here? I'm saying the anointing is for us to first and foremost learn to serve. But before we talk about evangelizing, and I believe it is very important, and before we talk about, you know, even ministry unto the body of Christ, I want to emphasize on our ministry unto the Lord. That's where it begins. It doesn't begin when I'm out there. It begins when I'm with God constantly. So as a priest, we are to minister three ways: unto the Lord, unto the saints or the body of Christ, and unto the world. All are important. We don't get to pick and choose, but it begins. The first begins with our ministry and service unto the Lord. The Bible says we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We've got to take care of this temple. We've got to minister as priests in this temple. All right? Okay? We're going to minister unto the Lord. All right? And of course, out of that, the body of Christ, the temple of God, the house of God is His church, made up of many, many believers. So we minister there too. We must always remember that. I always, always, every time I talk about personal relationship with God, or if I talk about our corporate relationship, I always try to bring the two together because I believe they're equally important. Individual service and corporate service is so important to understand that. And sometimes, and I think people misunderstand this, they think as long as you're just ministering to the Lord, I don't really need that corporateness because it's me and God, I have it all. I don't need that. And I think that's very sad. And the church is robbed of many things because of that. How can we ever learn to operate as a body if the body never comes together to work together? Is that important? It's very important. And I think we've got to help people who don't understand this to really capture, because that's the heart of Jesus. Just because we have differences doesn't mean it cannot work. We've got to come together because Jesus said, they shall be one as we are one. Let's go on to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. And this is what I want to show you. Why are we talking about this priesthood? Why are we talking about the anointing oil? Why are we talking about this ministering unto God? Well, let's look at the life of Samuel. Ready? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. It says this, and the child Samuel grew in stature, in favor both with the Lord and men. All right, so Samuel, he grew. He was a child. Everybody say child. Child Samuel. Where's child Samuel? Where is he? Where's Samuel? Oh, there you are. We missed you, Samuel. You're away so long. Anyway, I was thinking of you when I was preparing this because Samuel. But the child Samuel grew in stature. He grew to maturity. Now, that may imply physical, but think about it in the spiritual. You got to grow spiritually. What about Jesus in Luke chapter 2? We've been reading these verses, but I got to read this to give the context, right? And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that's speaking of who? Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 to 52. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Verse 52, and Jesus increased with wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Can you see the similarities of what happened to Samuel and what is spoken of with Jesus? You see how Samuel is a bit of a type of Jesus here? So Samuel grew, child Samuel grew. Now the child Jesus, he was young, he also grew. Now, do you and I want to grow? I want to grow. I want to grow like Samuel grew. I want to grow like Jesus did. Now look at this though. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 to 2, it says this. Now the boy Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, that when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and so on and so forth. But the first verse is, that the boy Samuel, everybody say, ministered to the Lord. And this is what I want to talk to you about here. He ministered to the Lord, and he grew in stature, favor with God, favor with man. Where does it begin? It begins with the ministry unto the Lord. Do you see how important that is to have this continual ministry unto the Lord? Now, let me give you 3 points, and I hope they will be practical and helpful. Think about some you might think is related to you. Maybe it's really, you got to, hopefully you hear the heart of this here. Number one, to grow in this. Okay, I want to minister to the Lord, but there are some principles that I think we got to understand, or at least will be helpful to understand. Number one is to be subject to authority. To be subject to authority. Jesus grew, Samuel grew, he ministered as a priest. But just because you minister as a priest, and this is why I keep saying this. You see, once you think, oh, me and God, well, my authority is God, and so me and God, that's all I need. So we forget everyone else. But there's something important that you will find in the life of Samuel and even Jesus about authority, that there's something they understood, something that they did. The first thing is Samuel was subject to the authority of Eli. Do you remember how his parents brought Samuel to the temple to Eli and dedicated and gave this child back to God? Now think about this. Samuel, my parents don't love me. Why did they send me with this priest who even God calls wicked because he doesn't even discipline his own children, who is doing sinning at the door of the tabernacle? All right? But he didn't. Did he? We have no record of that. But it says this, I'm going to read that verse again more slowly. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. I think that's very important to understand that. Even Eli, being not a very good priest, judgment was passed upon him by God. He ministered before Eli. Jesus was subject to his earthly parents. Let's look at Luke 2 again, verse 51 to 52. Of all the children here, this is important, right? Yeah? All of us, in fact. It's not just saying to children because they also need to pay attention, but it's relevant to all of us. But it says this in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was with them and was subject to them. Who is them? Them means the parents. He was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Remember when he was left behind, or at least he stayed back after the feast and he was in the temple, you know, teaching and talking about all these things. And the parents went to look for him. Jesus, where have you been? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? He said. All right, but it says he was subject to them. And what's the following verse? 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, favor with God, favor with men. There's something about being under authority. You see that? I minister unto the Lord, but it doesn't mean I'm all alone. There is an authority that God appoints. Do we recognize that? Children, recognize the authority of your parents. Or even us as members of the body. Remember, recognize the church leaders. They are not God, but at least recognize the hand of God upon them, because there's something about it. I'm not trying to, amplify that, but I mean, I'm just reading for you from the scriptures. You know, there's a principle in scriptures about this that cultivated this growth in them, because they understood, even as priests, they ministered under authority. Look at Jesus himself. If Samuel and the verses are not good enough, look at verse Hebrews of chapter 5, verse 5 to 6. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it is he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And he says into another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus didn't take it upon himself, even he himself, who is God. You see what I'm saying here? The Father appointed him. He didn't glorify himself. How much more does that say? Yes, I have a ministry unto the Lord. Yeah, but that's just one aspect, right? Understand that idea of dimension of authority here. Does that make sense? All right, yeah, very important. Number two, something good here. This ministry unto the Lord, where do you start? Do you start when they're a little bit older, when they maybe 12, maybe 6, when they can read? One of the things that I love about Amy and Dino is how not even when they're born. Right from the womb, they're already cultivating. They're already encouraging Zion. Where's Zion? Zion. You know, I was there. They would pray, lay hands, sing, put worship song. Pastor would get them to preach and things like that. But Samuel was young when he started ministering. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18 to 21. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. This linen ephod speaks of what usually the priest would wear. Speaks of priestly ministry here. As a child. Verse 21, he says down at the bottom, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. I want to encourage our young people here, small as you are, as small as Ezra is, and some of the other ones, a little bit older ones, learn to minister to the Lord. You're not too young. You know, and I love how, you know, like I said, I'm going to say it again, but I really love Zion learning to wait. You know, you should hear some of the stories. You were there on Mother's Day. Wait on the Lord. Sing and raise hands. They may not understand it, but you start them young. Don't ever say they're too young for the things of God. Don't ever say, well, you know, they'll focus on God when they finish their studies. No. Right from young. I believe this is very important. So for parents, perhaps, don't limit the children. And children, don't think you're too small. Samuel, Jesus was 12, and he was about the Father's business. If Jesus could do it, he came as a man. If Samuel could grow, so can you, and so can we. Amen? Amen? Now, I know I'm emphasizing a little bit on physical age, okay? But here we go. We got to keep growing in the Lord. Emphasize, okay? Now, the Bible says, while it is day, work. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And so you might think, well, maybe this message doesn't apply to me because I'm 50, 60, 70 years old, okay? But it's while you can work, while you still have energy, while you still have life, give it to the Lord, amen? Otherwise, by the time we're too old, then we're taken away by all kinds of thoughts. Learn to minister unto the Lord. Very important. Before I conclude with the last point here, there is something important I wanted to say here, and I wanted to just quickly turn to one story about the authority thing. I think this is very important for me to say. What I find is, I have to be very careful myself because we live in an age where there's so much knowledge. Do you agree with me? If you need anything, you can just go online and get all the information you need. Much easier to get information. So even if you're not smart, it's very easy to sound smart if you really want to. Just get the right sources, read the right materials, say the right things, you'll sound smart. But just because we can sound smart doesn't actually mean we are actually smart. I mean, sorry, no offense to anyone here, okay? And what I find, and I'm saying this from what I observe sometimes within my family, sometimes within my friends, sometimes within the church, and it's not just limited. And I see this, and sometimes when we talk about being subject to authority and starting young, you know, yes, start young, but remember authority. And I want to emphasize it's very important because I find that look at parents, okay? There are experienced parents and there are new parents. Do you agree with me? The experienced parents may have had 4 or 5 children. They grew in a different generation. They did things differently. Obviously, now you have new generation, you have babies, you have more things and you have newer things. And there are some things are better, right? Just because of the easiness and the facilities that are provided and all things like that. But there are certain principles, regardless, that never changes. Do you agree with me? And so, it's so easy. And it's not just raising kids, it's in everything else as well. It's so easy to just come into a place is like, let me make that sentence. And I think this is what I think and this is what I observe. Every parent think they're the best parent. What I mean by that is not about in terms of caring and loving. Every parent love their children. I don't think you can compare this. I believe, yes, every parent love their children. But what I say, every parent think they're the best parent in terms of, I know how to raise my kids. I know how to do it best. My method works better than any other people's methods. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying here. And the danger is that, you know, especially, and I'm saying that because I myself, I'm not that very old, right? But, you know, when people that are older than you begin to give you advice, rather than just saying, well, I know better, I can do this better, or this is my kids, I know how to raise my kids, or you say, or let's say you're driving, for instance, and you say, okay, well, hey, just be a bit careful. Maybe you should have two hands on the wheel rather than one hand. You know, things like this, small things like this, you might think, well, I know better. I've been driving like this for 10 years, 20 years, and it has never affected me. You know, chill, man, you know. You know, and I think that's the attitude that I'm talking about here. And what happens with this? I want to read a story really quickly here. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. It says this, and maybe I'll summarize this. I won't read it. Basically, there's a king of Israel after Solomon. And they said to him, people came to him and says, hey, you know, you should lessen our load. We work too hard. Can you lessen it? Can you make it less? So then we will actually come and help you and serve you. And what did he do? This king went to the elders. The elders says, do as the people say. Use some wisdom, right? Lessen the load. What did he do? Bible says he didn't listen to that counsel. What did he do? He went to his peers. And what did his peers tell him? He says, let me get the wording right, but he says, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. Increase it. Make it worse. And which advice do you think this king listened to? Peers. Did it go well? Didn't go well. Okay? So start young, minister unto the Lord, but remember this message. And again, I will say this applies not only to children, not only to young people, okay, but to all of us here. There are different level of maturity, even spiritually speaking. I hope you get this morning, right? Okay, there's some principles that I just want to share with you and hopefully you're getting the sense of it. But you and I are called to minister unto the Lord. Now, lastly, and I want to make a point here, and then let's minister unto the Lord. Number three, priestly ministry first begins unto the Lord. How do we position ourselves? Acts chapter 2. What did they do? I want to read Luke 24. When Jesus ascended, what did Jesus tell them to do? Luke 24, verse 50 to 53. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Take note of the words in bold. Worship, return, joy, continually, praising, and blessing. What were they doing? Now, remember at the start, remember how I told you from Passover to Pentecost, there's 50 days. Out of these 50 days, 40 days, Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom. Jesus ascended after the 40 days. Therefore, it remains 50 minus 40 means 10. There remain 10 days between Jesus ascended to the day of Pentecost. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Holy Spirit poured out, so they shall be witnesses unto him. But what did they do between then and there, until the day of Pentecost? They were what? They continued, they worshipped, they returned, they were praising continually and blessing God. They were ministering unto the Lord. They were learning to minister unto the Lord first, before they received the power that was necessary to go out to the world. Can you say amen? Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, saying the same thing again. Where were they? They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, and the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Verse 14, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and with a woman Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is what they were doing continually. Everybody say continually. Last verse I want to read, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. Let me close this way, okay? All I'm saying is our ministry, we have such an important ministry. You are a minister. I am a minister. You are a priest unto God, first to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So don't negate that. Don't forget how important that is. Before we can do anything, before we want to even study, before we do even anything, our ministry unto the Lord is the utmost important, because it is out of that that we can minister to the rest. The disciples understood that. Samuel understood that. Jesus understood that. Ministry unto the Lord. Let me read the last verse in Revelation chapter 5. Just one verse here, just to sort of, what were they doing? If you can help me find this, where is it? Okay, there you go, verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8. All right, this is the last verse, and I want to just spend some time just to minister unto the Lord here. Now, when he had taken the scroll, four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb speaking of Jesus, each having a harp, a golden bowls, a full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I want you to pay attention to the language here. Incense. What's the language? Where is that used? It's used in the tabernacle. It's used in the temple. Who ministers that? The priest. So when they were ministering to the incense, speaking of the prayers of the saints. So when we pray for Jerusalem, when you pray unto God, when you spend time with God in the Word of God, waiting upon the Lord, worshiping, singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, interceding, enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise, we are ministering unto the Lord. This is the first ministry I want to say we've got to all have. And we're saying this in the light of, I want to grow. I want to grow in stature. I want to grow in favor. Grow as a minister of God, as a priest, threefold, but first unto the Lord. So let's give God that time, all right? Any time you have. You don't just minister unto the Lord only at a particular time. You can continuously minister to the Lord because we have access to God 24/7. The Holy Spirit is in us, right? So everywhere, anytime, anywhere, you can. But of course, I do encourage you to set aside a time for this. If I can get the musicians, I hope you get this here. I'm saying all of this, Pentecost Sunday, next week, how do we position ourselves? We want power. Power for what? Power to serve. All right? We want power to serve.